The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church in Ocala, Alabama. To find out more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.
I want to bring you a message that I would title, A Close Encounter with Personal Apostasy. That's how I would title the sermon, A Close Encounter with Personal Apostasy. Apostasy is the abandonment of your religious beliefs and convictions. The abandonment of your religious beliefs and convictions. And oftentimes, the attitude that you will see as a precursor to that happening, to somebody becoming an apostate or dealing with apostasy, the attitude that is a precursor to that many times is an attitude of, God's not fair. God's not fair, or God did not keep his promises, or God has let me down. And maybe you've dealt with some of those feelings like that before. And, I hope that the meat of this message will help to shape our minds to understand how dangerous of an attitude that actually is. So a close encounter with personal apostasy or an abandonment of religious beliefs and convictions. Now, oftentimes when people get the attitude of life's not fair, or God's not fair, or God has let me down, oftentimes that happens because they look at life and they look at all the things that go on around them, and they're trying to make sense of the things that are happening around us. And the world that we live in, it's easy to understand how people could get to that point. But especially when, knowing that we as human beings have a corrupt mind, and as we try to process things in our brain, we're dealing with a corrupt nature that's constantly trying to deceive us and get us off track and lie to us about the way things really are. So somebody that looks at society, or they look at a specific situation or just life in general, and they're trying to understand it, they're trying to make heads or tails of what's going on, and they begin to think things through, trying to find some sort of reasoning to the way things are, why the way things are the way they are. And sometimes when they can't make sense of life, they just throw their hands up and say, well, God's not fair, life's not fair, and I'm just going to abandon everything that I've ever known. I'm going to abandon my beliefs and all of my convictions. You know, the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter, that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. And it says, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to the man of understanding. And what that's saying is, in our own mind, in our logic, you know who should win the race? The fastest guy. You know who should win the battle? The strongest guy. You know who should have the most riches? Is the wise and the man of understanding. But we know in life that's not true. You know, you think about, sporting events. I grew up playing sports, and I can remember times that the team I was on was absolutely not supposed to win the game. The other team was better, they were faster, and they were stronger. But when it was all said and done, we were victorious. We beat them, and you can just see people scratching their heads like, how in the world did this happen? We're so much better than they are, and I've been on the other end of that, where we were supposed to have beaten people, and we just got hammered. They just destroyed us. And you ever watch these, I think about college football games where the underdog comes back and wins, and they show the crowd, they pan the crowd, and all the people are just like, and just, what happened? Well, the reason is because the battle is not always to the strong, and the race is not always to the swift. Sometimes the slowest guy wins the race. Sometimes the weakest guy wins the battle. And we stand back as human beings in our logic and think, what is going on here? And eventually, if we look at life long enough with the incorrect glasses on, we could start seeing ourselves step towards a belief of apostasy where we just say, I'm just forget it. What's the point? Now, in the 73rd Psalm, we're going to look at a man named Asaph here, who dealt with being very, very close to apostasy, very close to just laying it all aside and saying, what's the point of all of this? Now, before we sit back and get on our high horse and say, well, he was probably a guy that was very sporadic in his church attendance. He was probably a guy that hardly ever read his Bible. It's no wonder that he struggled with that. I encourage you to read some of the Psalms that Asaph wrote. He speaks about God's righteous judgment. He speaks about the victory that we have in God. He speaks about the way we should worship God. This is a guy who's one of the chief singers in this day. This was a guy who from the outside looking in, he was a very religious, spiritual-minded man. He was very, very solid because he wrote many, many God-inspired psalms. So this is not just some guy over here that's kind of just casual with his belief. This is a guy who holds it very, very dear. But we find this very man here getting so close to just abandoning his religious convictions and belief. And if you will think about it and you'll be honest with yourself, there's probably times that you've been very much like this man Asaph about some point, about some circumstance or some condition to the point you're ready just to throw your hands up in the air and say, forget it. Now, in the 73rd Psalm here, I'm going to read some of this to you. It says, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. And then he begins to make it very personal. He says, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. Now, I want to paint a picture here that I had in my mind that might help us visualize the condition that he's in. Some of you probably have been ice skating before. And if you're not a regular ice skater, it is a difficult thing. It is very, very difficult. We go maybe once a year or so to some ice skating rink somewhere, and, you know, it looks good, and there's some people out there skating, and you put your little ice skates on, and you step out on that ice skating rink, and as soon as you hit that ice skating rink, you just, you know, and your legs are slipping and you're trying to hold on to things and you just look like a fool because your feet are just slipping from under and you're trying to get some traction. If you don't have anything to hold on to, you know, you're struggling to keep from falling, and people are zooming by and all this stuff. And that's the picture that I see when I think about Asaph's spiritual man here, is that he is slipping and sliding all over the place very close to falling. And he doesn't have anything to grab onto. And his spiritual mind, his spiritual man, is struggling like you would if you'd never ice skated and they dropped you in the middle of an ice skating rink. Picture that. Him slipping and sliding all over the place. Now, why is Asaph slipping and sliding? Why does he say that his feet were almost gone and his steps were about to slip? Why does he say that? Because he is confused. His spiritual mind and his spiritual man is confused, and he's confused because he's using his own experiences and he's using his own perceptions of the world to guide him in his understanding of why things are the way they are around him. Now, understand that. He's looking at all these things going on around him, and he's trying to make sense of it, but his guide is his own experiences and his own perceptions. And it is a prideful thing. It is a prideful thing to think that your own perceptions of this life are more credible than these scriptures.
Amen.
Okay? So think about this. He's looking at this world. He can't make sense of it. He's slipping and sliding all over the place. Now, don't we do that? Don't we do that at times? Don't we have situations pop up in our life and we look at them and say, I'm trying to make heads or tails of this, but maybe we don't use our own experiences, or maybe we're not using our own perceptions. Sometimes we use things like church signs. You ever notice that? You ever driven by a church sign about, oh, that's a pretty neat sign there. And maybe you get in a bind sometime, and all you can do is replay that church sign through your mind, and you're trying to draw strength off that church sign. You know, maybe it's a song. And I'm not saying all these things are always absolutely bad. I would be careful of church signs, though. But sometimes it's a song. Sometimes we have trouble in life, and we're trying to make sense of things, and so we'll go put a song on that really resonates with us, and we'll listen to that song over and over and over and over, and maybe it's a good song, maybe it's got some truths in it, but maybe it doesn't. Sometimes we listen to the advice of others. The advice of other people is our guide. And we say, hey, what do you think about this? Here's my situation. I don't know what's going on with this. Tell me, what do you think about this? And then they give you some advice, and you cling to that like it's God-inspired. Hopefully they gave you some godly advice, but many, many times people don't. Maybe it's not the advice of others. Maybe it's, maybe the advice of others. Let me say this before I get out of here. Maybe the advice of others is this. Well, you just need to follow your heart. The worst advice that anybody could ever give you, and every single Disney princess that has ever been has given you that advice. I'm telling you, follow your heart. Do not follow your heart, okay? Don't do it. Follow the Spirit of God. And every time, Pocahontas or whoever it is says that on these movies, I pause it and I say, kids, let's talk about the heart. Let's talk about how deceitful it is and not to follow that. Maybe what you're trying to draw strength from and what you're trying to use to make heads or tails or something is a perverted gospel, is perverted scriptures. I would use the example of Romans 8:28. Maybe you have something going on in your life and somebody comes up to you and says, oh, well, all things work together for good. Okay? And that does say, the Bible does say that. But you better be able to put that in the correct context, or you may find yourself looking at life through the glasses of perverted, corrupted scriptures, and you will find yourself in the end of it all abandoning everything that you've ever believed and been convicted about spiritually, because you had the wrong thing guiding you. Now, Asaph here, he looks at life and he doesn't understand it. He's confused because he's got the wrong perceptions. And what does he begin to do? This is an evidence that you are going towards the state of apostasy. He begins to complain. And I want to read just a little bit of this to you this morning. He says, "For I was envious of the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment." Do you see where he's going with this? He's looking around. He says, you know what? I struggle to get through the day. I've got aches and I've got pains and I've got burdens and I've got problems. And I go home and I tend to my wounds and I'm trying to just make it through another day. And every time I go out into the streets, I go out there and I don't know what his personal issues were, but clearly he's got some. And he's dealing with all these burdens and all these struggles. And he walks out into the street and lo and behold, here comes a guy that cares nothing about God, that is fit and he's healthy and he's got more money that he knows what to do with. And he seems to be extremely happy. And poor Asaph is over here just struggling to make it through the day. And he looks at that and he says, I don't understand that. That does not make sense to me. He says, you know, I notice all these righteous people, when it comes time for them to die, they're suffering and they're sorrow and they're in pain. And all these other people that are just wicked, they just die casually in their sleep. They're not troubled. They're not plagued like the righteous are. He says, their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than their heart could wish. He says, they're corrupt, and they speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouths against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters are a full cup wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know, and is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly, who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. You see what his issue was? His issue may not be your issue. His issue is looking around wondering, why are all the wicked people fat and happy? And I'm over here struggling just to make it through the day. And I look at all these people that are so, they seem to be so blessed and just, I don't understand it. Maybe your issue is not that. You know, Asaph was sitting here, Asaph was saying, God's not fair. That's what Asaph is saying. God is not fair. He has unjustly blessed the wicked and he's punished the righteous. That's the attitude that he's got. Maybe your attitude, maybe your situation is not dealing with looking at the ungodly. Maybe your situation is looking at some other event in your life that you're trying to make heads or tails about why it is the way it is. All right, so Asaph begins to complain. And then Asaph gets to a very, very dangerous frame of mind.
That's right.
Asaph says, verily I have cleansed my heart in vain.
Right.
Asaph is this close to apostasy. Asaph is this close because he is at the point where he says, what is the point? Everything that I've done for you, Lord, all the righteousness that I've tried to work, all the obedience that I've tried to done, he says, I've done it for nothing. I've done it in vain and it's been pointless. If I would have just gone the way of the wicked, I would be the one walking up down the streets fat and happy. I wouldn't be the one inside licking my wounds each day. I wouldn't be the one that has to go out every day and just have this reminder that you're unfair, God.
Right.
And he's this close to just saying, forget it. What's the point? And walking away from all of his convictions and all of his beliefs. He says, verily I've cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. Now he says this, this would be very good biblical advice to you people and to me that are dealing with things like this. He says, for all day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. See, he's complaining.
Right.
He says, they've got it better than me. And he says this. He says, if I say, I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children.
Right.
And when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. You see what he wants to do? He wants to talk about it. He's bottling it up and he's letting it fester inside of him. And he wants so bad, he needs so desperately to get direction and to get some answers. And he wants desperately to go to God's people and say, "Help me, teach me, guide me." But he says, "You know what? I'm too embarrassed to do that. I'm too embarrassed to go to God's people. I'm too embarrassed to go to them and say, I need help on this issue." Maybe he thinks, "I don't want to go to God's people because I know that my attitude is contagious. And I know that if I go out and I start talking about these things, that it may spread to God's people. And the last thing I want to do is to offend the generation of God's people." And so he bottles it up. And can you imagine, I want you to hopefully picture Asaph here as he's bottled all of this up and he's really, really struggling. He's this close to saying, "What's the point?" Because he's not viewing life through the glasses that he needs to view life. And he's ready just to abandon it all. And it's breaking his heart. He wants to talk about it. And he says, "When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me." You know what it was painful for? To think I've got a burden inside of me that I don't think I can share with God's people. Now, I'll say this. You have a pastor that wakes up in the morning. I'm speaking on his behalf because I believe I know how he feels. Who wakes up in the morning wanting to help you bear your burdens. Okay? He wants to hear what you've got to say. I want to hear what you've got to say. I want to hear your burdens. And I know that he does. Don't let those things bottle up on you. Amen. It was painful for Asaph. It will be painful for us. Now, Asaph in this condition is struggling. He's confused. He's mad at God. He's screaming, "Life is not fair." And I can imagine that this is his attitude when it came time for church.
Right. That's right.
I don't want to go to church.
Right.
What's the point? I've gone down to that church so many times, and I've sat through those services so many times. What is the point of it all? Because when I leave, I'm plagued and I'm chastened all the time, and everybody else that's wicked is fat and happy. What is the point of me going to church? And poor Asaph, I can imagine with tears in his face, drags himself to church.
Yeah.
Drags himself to church. And then he says this, "Until I went into the sanctuary of God,
Amen.
Then understood I their end." Do you know where it was that Asaph began to comprehend what reality was?
Right.
In God's house.
Amen.
That's where he began to understand that the reality is, I understand their end. And the reality is that all my perceptions and my experiences with these people, and when I step out and I walk down the streets and I'm plagued and I'm burdened and I see all these other people that are not that way, that's not reality. It's only reality in my corrupted mind. He says, "Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end."
Amen.
"Surely thou didst set them in slippery places." Remember we were talking about slipping and sliding? You want to know who's really slipping and sliding?
Right.
The people that he thought were on solid ground.
That's right.
He says, "Surely thou didst set them in slippery places, and thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image." Now, picture this. Asaph sits there and he begins to hear these things. Okay? As Asaph sits in the house of the Lord, in the sanctuary of the Lord, he begins to hear these things. And the way I picture this in my mind's eye is Asaph, as he sits there, he closes his eyes and he visualizes that arena that we talked about at the very beginning. He visualizes in his mind an arena with seats and bleachers and down at the bottom that ice skating rink. And as he sits there, he imagines himself walking into that arena and taking a seat up in the stands and looking down on that sheet of ice that's at the bottom. And he sees his own self there. And he watches himself slipping. And he watches himself slide. And he sees how close he is to falling away. And I can imagine Asaph has tears running down his face and he begins to cry. Because he sees just how close he was to abandoning the Lord. And just how close he was to apostasy. And just how much he was relying on his own experiences and his own perceptions to guide him. And he is in the arena of self-examination.
Right.
And that's a tough place to be sometimes.
Sure.
But he sits there and he watches his own self. And he realizes how close he was to falling and how perverted his thinking was. And as he begins to cry, as he watches himself slip and as he watches himself slide, He says, "Thus my heart was grieved and I was pricked in my reins." See, the truth has a way of doing that for us.
Amen.
The truth has a way of convicting our hearts and making us want to fall on our knees. And it has a way of showing us just how wretched we are. He says, "So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee." Now, he sits in that arena, tears flowing down his face is the way I picture it. And he's watching himself slip and he's watching himself slide. He just, "Oh, it almost fell, almost fell." And he's just watching. He kind of cringes every time that he starts to slip and fall. But when Asaph looks back up and he wipes the tears away from his face, he says this, "Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand." Do you know what Asaph saw? Asaph saw the Lord standing beside him. Always.
Amen.
Holding his hand. And every time Asaph said, "I'm surely about to fall, I don't see how in the world that I didn't fall right then." The reason I didn't fall is because my Lord, my God, had my hand continually holding me.
Amen.
He trusts in the grace of God.
Amen.
Do you think Asaph deserved, in his perverted mind, in his corrupt way of thinking, when he's this close to just abandoning God altogether, do you think he deserved to have the God of the heavens hold his hand to keep him from falling? He didn't deserve it, but that's what grace is. And he trusts in God's grace and sees that God's grace is what's holding him up. So here's the question. Do you ever feel like you're slipping? Do you ever feel like you're going through life and your feet are about to come out from under you spiritually? And you look at things and you don't understand why this group's doing this and how this group can do this. And now you look at the elections and you look at all these types of things and you just scratch your head and you say, "Lord, I don't understand any of this." And you feel your feet slipping out from under you, trying to make sense of the world. Do you go to bed at night and you cannot comprehend why the race is not to the swift? Can you not comprehend why the battle is not always to the strong? And you sit there and you scratch your head and you have a spirit of fear come over you. And you think, "What is the point?" I can confess to you, I feel that way sometimes. There are times that I say, "What is the point of all this? What is the point?" Everybody else seems to be just as happy as they can be, Lord. And I'm burdened and I'm down and I'm discouraged. What is the point of this all? You probably feel like that. I feel like that sometimes. And these ideas and these thoughts and these perversions of the truth enter into our head, and we begin to look at things and evaluate things with those perverted thoughts as our guide, trying to make sense of them. And we will find ourselves terribly confused. We will find ourselves in our state of confusion wanting to complain. And when we get done complaining, we will want to throw our hands up and say, "What is the point of all this?" Now, here's what I want to give you as a take home. In the mind and heart of every single born-again child of God, there is a battle going on.
Right.
That is the battleground for every single child of God.
That's right.
It is a spiritual battle. It is spiritual warfare. Now, the Bible tells us in Proverbs, the 4th chapter, to keep thy heart. For out of it are the issues of life. To keep and to guard your heart. The Bible tells us that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Bible tells us to keep, to guard this desperately wicked thing that lives inside every single one of us. Keep it, guard it, put your eye on it. Make sure that the battle that's taking place there is won in the name of the Lord, and it's not dragging you off into the depths, into the darknesses in our minds. Keep thy heart, because it is deceitful above all things. How do you keep your heart? How do you fight a battle? You fight a battle with weapons, do you not? You fight a battle with weapons. It says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. I don't take a gun, a sword, or a pistol, or anything like that into the spiritual battle. But I do have weapons, but they're not of this world. And I think I spoke to you about that some time ago. It could have been another church. I can't remember where I've been and what I've said. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. For Asaph, the greatest weapon he had, the weapon that slayed the powers of darkness on that battlefield that day and caused him to be victorious, was coming to the fellowship with God's people and God's house.
Amen.
That's why Asaph won that victory, because he came here and he realized all the thoughts that he had were not true. And I've been that way sometimes. Sometimes I've been absolutely sure that my thoughts were correct, until maybe I hear a sermon or maybe I sit down and study this word and I think, my goodness, Lord, how far away it was from what the actual truth was. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 10 that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. It also tells us to cast down, I'm paraphrasing, to cast down the imaginations, cast down the high things in our mind that exalt themselves against the knowledge of Christ, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The worst thing, that happens to us is an internal thing. It's that battleground inside of us where our mind and our thoughts are confused and perverted, and we have ideas and imaginations come up in our mind, like maybe this, like, oh, this person doesn't like me, this person doesn't like me, this person doesn't like me, and it grows into this huge tower in our minds, and all we can think about is that person doesn't like us, and that huge tower of imaginations casts a shadow on the truth.
Yeah.
And it is more difficult for us to see the truth when those imaginations are in our head. As we lose that spiritual battle, those imaginations grow higher. And the Bible tells us to cast down those imaginations with weapons that are not carnal. Prayer, fellowship with God's people, come into the house of God and hearing the truth. Those are our weapons to cast down. The Bible says this battleground that we have inside of us, and the heart and mind of every child of God, that battlefield that's in our heart, the Bible says, let the peace of God rule in your heart.
Yeah.
Don't let wild, crazy imaginations rule in your heart. Don't let thoughts, perverted, corrupt thoughts, rule in your heart. Now, when we look at this world, there is one looking glass that we should look through to view this world, and it is God's Word. That's what we need to use to help us make sense of this world. And if you can use God's Word to help us make sense of this world, you can save yourself from going down that road of apostasy to getting to the point where it just, what's the point? Now, I can say this too. The churches are full of people who are apostates. You can sit in a pew and have abandoned all your religious beliefs. Okay, that doesn't mean you're going out devil worshiping. You can sit in a pew and just be as hard to the things of God as anybody in this world can be. So, we do not want to get ourselves to that point. And I will say this as I close. When you feel like you look at a situation in life and you want to stomp your foot and you want to say, God's not fair, God did not keep His promises, and I'm just going to abandon everything that I've ever believed and ever known about God, I'm just going to leave it behind me, I encourage you to do this. Go into that arena of self-examination. And I think what you will find is that God has been with you the whole time. If anybody did any abandoning, it was God's people abandoning Him.
Amen.
Okay? Go into that arena of self-examination, and I feel once you leave that, you will be rejoicing in the grace of God just as Asaph did.
Amen.
So I hope those things have been profitable to you this morning and can keep us from going down a road that is very unhealthy for us.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.